Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new edition of the Cajun Ghost Hunter Chronicles with your host, Stanley Gillette. Join me as I will discuss EVP from God, EVP about God and angels, and a recent miracle. We will also introduce the Maidwood Plantation and revisit the Woodland Plantation. Once again, thank you, everyone, as we add another episode to the Cajun Ghost Hunter Chronicles. Today, I first want to discuss God and EVP. Many of my fellow investigators out there have mentioned that they have never received any voices that have referenced either God or Jesus Christ. Personally, I have received several messages from God and messages about God, the Holy Spirit, and angels. I call it the Holy Spirit because of my Catholic upbringing, where my faith used to reference this branch of the Trinity as the Holy Ghost. My first encounter with the spirit was when I was visiting the China Ranch date farm in the Mojave Desert after my friend Rick Aiko, formerly head chef of the Samosa Factory in Las Vegas, recommended it to me while I was on vacation there. In the early 1920s, Vanola Modine, youngest daughter of Death Valley area pioneer R.J. Fairbanks, planted the seed to date grow from seeds. Approximately half of the trees are male and produce only pollen. The females bear in the fall, each yielding from 100 to 300 pounds of date in a season. My wife Barbara and I drove up there early on a Tuesday morning, arriving around lunchtime. We proceeded to walk down one of the many trails. We didn't have hiking shoes, so we didn't plan to go too far down the trail. Barbara was having problems with sandflies chasing her, and she was constantly swatting them away as we walked down the trail. I started an EVP session, and I walked off the trail when I spotted some pieces of wood that looked like they may have been used to support a mine shaft. As I touched the wood, I asked if there were any spirits of old miners walking around there. The response was immediate, and it sounded like an angel giving me a profound message from the other side. She said that there was a spirit who loved me. In this EVP, you're going to hear me ask, are there any spirits of old miners wandering around here right now? And then you'll hear the spirit say, there's a spirit who loves you.
Are there any spirits of old miners wandering around here right now? Are there any spirits of old miners wandering around here right now? Are there any spirits of old miners wandering around here right now?
You can also hear a replay of this EVP on my website under Las Vegas 2 on the top toolbar. This was a heartwarming spiritual revelation to me, and it was the first time that a spirit addressed me in this way. It proved not to be the only time that a spirit would make such a profound statement to me. I went to the slave quarters at Laurel Valley Plantation, the oldest operating sugarcane plantation in the United States, on July 23rd, 2011, performed an EVP in front of the church. I captured a few good EVPs, and during the session, this one was the most profound. In this one, you will hear me say, God bless this church. And then the spirit replies, God's life struck me. And here's God's life struck me.
God bless this church. God bless this church. God bless this church.
I play this for my family and friends, and they wonder what the spirit means by that statement. I truly believe the spirit is describing the same ecstasy that St. Teresa of Avila writes about in her autobiography. She said, it is impossible to describe or explain the way in which God wounds the soul, the very pain that he inflicts on it, so that it hardly knows what it is doing. But this is so sweet a pain that no delight in the whole world can be more pleasing. The soul, as I have said, would be glad always to be dying of this ill. She went on to describe a vision she had where her heart was struck and pierced by the spear of a cherubim and said, the sweetness caused by this intense pain is so extreme that one cannot possibly wish it to cease, nor is one's soul then content with anything but God. Many women have had an epiphany or rapture of this sort and have gone on to enter convents and become nuns. When she read this biography overnight at a Catholic friend's house, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein, who died in the crematory of Auschwitz, converted from Judaism to Catholicism and eventually became a Carmelite nun. Of course, I'll leave the interpretation and meaning of this EVP to the listeners. On June 25th, 2011, Philip, my son, performed an EVP in front of the church in the quarters. He asked the spirits if they were all Christians, and the spirit said to someone to tell him that he was right and that God will lift him up. Again, an EVP mentioning God. In this one, you will hear Philip say, were y'all Christians, all of y'all? The first spirit says, tell him he's right. And the second spirit said, God will lift him up. Okay, and this is God will lift him up.
Were y'all Christians, all of y'all? Were y'all Christians, all of y'all? Were y'all Christians, all of y'all?
My wife Barbara and I visited Rita's Tequila House in New Orleans in May of 2011. Her niece had told us about a shadow person that her chef had seen, and we discovered that there had been a suicide there by hanging that had occurred years ago. We'll give all the details of that in a later show. While there, I performed an EVP session. When I started the session, as a means of protection and to invoke peace with the spirits around us, I asked God to bless the premises. A voice told me to stop it. Another voice said, God's love of you. And while putting this together last night, I reversed the speech of God's love of you, which I had not done before, and discovered that the voice said, are you preaching to God? What's even more amazing is that the voice changed pitch in the reverse speech, and the spirit sounds like me. And now here I'm going to play God's love of you. And this you will hear me say, God bless this place. And then the first spirit says, stand, stop it. And the spirit says, God's love of you. Are you preaching to God?
God bless this place. Stop it. You're preaching to God. God bless this place. Stop it. You're preaching to God. God bless this place. Stop it.
I then asked the spirits if they could give me a praise the Lord or a hallelujah. Everywhere I go, I usually ask this question with a positive response. I was not disappointed as the spirit gave me a profound philosophical answer. And the verse speech of the statement was even more so. In this EVP, you will hear me ask spirit, can I get a praise the Lord or a hallelujah? Then in forward speech, you will hear the spirit say, I can praise God. And then in reverse speech, spirit says, my faith was taught. So now I'm going to play, I can praise God. I'm going to pull it up here. I'm having a little difficulty finding it here. I can't pull it up. I'm sorry about that. If I find it, I'll come back to it later. On 7/27/11, while wandering around the woodland plantation at 3 a.m., I captured this EVP on my RT EVP recorder sweeping at 50 milliseconds. I was staying all by myself in the main house. This is forward and reverse speech pasted together. And this one you would hear, God saved me. He blessed me. Spirit is referencing that God saved her and blessed her. It seems that Spirit has to emphasize he not only saved her, but he blessed her. Does a blessing from a higher power bring grace? We shall see at the end of this segment of the show. On October 1st, 2013, after receiving an EVP from the slave spirits of the Woodland Plantation to bring them to the light, I captured this forward and reverse speech that was very profound, so I copied and pasted it all together. The spirits first wail and then say, the angels that walk here, and then say in reverse speech, they all done seen me. And then he wails again. I guess he's verifying that spirits are around us all the time and can watch everything that we're doing. And this is the angels that walk here. Okay, now I'm going to get a little personal here with a friend from the family that died. Kathy Holmes was in a vegetative state after a stroke on June 20th, 2013, when the EVP was captured in my home with an RT EVP recorder sweeping at 50 milliseconds. Kathy used to live in the garage apartment on my present property when we lived next door. She was always at my house, and she was friends with my daughter, Melissa. I bought the property after her dad passed and her mom moved away. She passed 2 days later at the tender age of 33, leaving three children behind. I knew she wasn't coming back from the coma when she told me that she was an angel. I made this EVP for her family, but in the original EVP she said, don't pray for me. Since I didn't want to leave any misunderstanding with her family about why she told me that, I took out the don't when I made this EVP. In this clip, you will hear me telling Kathy that we're praying for her. And then you hear Spirit say, pray for me. I am an angel. I'm really Kathy Helms. She verifies who she is by saying her full name. Here we have a reference to an angel, an entity created by God. And this is, I am an angel.
We're praying for you.
Angel.
We're praying for you.
Angel.
We're praying for you.
Now I'm going to get really personal. My sister, Joan Robleski Melanson, died from breast cancer on May 28, 1991. I had never really made peace with my sister, and after 22 years, I went to her grave in the Garden of Memories in Gray, Louisiana, last year on May the 28th. Unlike my family tomb in St. Joseph Cemetery No. 1 in Thibodaux, Louisiana, that is above ground for four bodies with a crypt underneath, she is in a single grave buried underground. I literally lay on top of her grave and talked with her, reconciling my past grievances and telling her how much I loved her. During my EVP session there, I had asked Joan if she had any messages for her son, Brent. She replied, heaven is filled with light. Very prolific with a comforting message about the light that is described by people who have had near-death experiences. Here, you're going to hear me ask Joan if she has any messages for Brent, and then you will hear her say, heaven is filled with light.
Is there anything you want me to tell Brent? Is there anything you want me to tell Brent? Is there anything you want me to tell Brent?
I downloaded an app for paranormal investigating called Echo Box for my Android tablet last year. I tested it in my bedroom on the afternoon of July 6, 2013 with my camera recording the session. It was pointed at the bust of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the headboard of my bed. response to my question, can you see Jesus Christ, is astounding. Spirit told me he's there. That taught love. I found this so amazing since the underlying message of Jesus in all of the Gospels is his message of love, and of course, his disciples would address him as rabbi or teacher. Of course, this blew my mind while sitting in front of a bust of the Sacred Heart from my mother, whose death propelled me into the paranormal, and this capture in real time made it that much more humbling. And here's, he's there.
You see Jesus Christ?
He's there.
You see Jesus Christ?
He's way. So love.
You see Jesus Christ?
He's way. So love.
Now that I've introduced my use of the Echovox application, let's get back to the capture in my sister's grave that heaven is filled with light. On June 15, 2014, it was the smallest full moon of the year due to the moon being in its apogee elliptical orbit of the Earth. I decided to perform an Echovox session to see if spirits were active. They did not disappoint me, as after I asked if there were any spirits here, a voice replied, God's light is perfect. Here you will hear, I'm going to play, God's light is perfect. During the same session, I received another astounding message. My brother, Peter Robleski, and his wife, Debbie, were supposed to come with my wife, Barbara, and me to the Grand Cayman Islands at the beginning of November of last year. 2 weeks before we were to leave, he called me from Pasadena, Texas, where he lives, to let me know that he was having intestinal problems. But he went to the doctor and was told that he would recover in a few days. I told him that our great-grandmother had an impaction when she died and was actually throwing up her own feces right before she died from it. In fact, in my book, in the chapter on Patrick Drive in the Helms Garage, I have an EVP where my mother tells me that my grandma's death is real bad. She wails, oh, my grandma, and then tells my father Stanley that she feels depressed because she loved her grandmother more than her own mother. And being a nurse had taken care of her grandmother in her final hours on this earth. Now, Peter called me a week later and told me that he was going into the hospital because he had an impaction and he was throwing up his own feces. Well, he was in the hospital. He had an emergency surgery after they discovered a large mass of cancer in his colon and had to remove about a foot of it. He also discovered cancer in the lining of his abdomen and around his small intestines and were unable to get to it. The diagnosis was stage 4 colon cancer, and they gave him 2 years to live with chemotherapy treatment. If you look up stage 4 colon cancer, the survival rate for a patient to live 5 years is 6%. After he recovered from his surgery, he began his chemotherapy in January with no side effects except for an aversion to anything cold, such as food. If he ate anything cold, then his jaw would freeze with such an intense pain that he had to avoid cold foods and eat things at room temperature. When he started the chemo, during the session where I received the message that God's light is perfect, I asked my mother if she was helping Peter with his chemotherapy, since he was having such minimal side effects from the chemo. I received two voices that told me God helped him, blessed him. I want to play you now this amazing capture. In here you will hear me ask my mother if she's helping Peter with his chemotherapy, and Spirit replies, God helped him, blessed him.
Are you helping Peter with his chemotherapy? Are you helping Peter with his chemotherapy? Are you helping Peter with his chemotherapy?
Now, 3 weeks ago on Friday, Peter had a CT scan after 8 chemotherapy treatments to see if it was helping him. And the following Monday, when he went in for his next treatment, the doctors let him know the results of the scan. They didn't find any cancer anywhere in his body, and they were stunned that after only 8 treatments, he was cancer-free. Hence, I've answered my previous question, wondering if a blessing from a higher power brings grace. This, my friends, was truly a miracle, and I'm humbled to have received such marvelous EVP 3 months before this event, predicting how God truly blessed my brother during his treatment and brought him this wonderful reward that we call grace. Now I will discuss my visit and investigation of the Maidwood Plantation in Napoleonville, Louisiana. My wife Barbara manages a restaurant and rarely gets off 2 days in a row so that we can travel somewhere for overnight stays. On the July 4th weekend of 2011, she had her usual Sunday off, so since the holiday was on a Monday, I booked us an overnight stay at Maidwood. We both had wanted to stay at this bed and breakfast for a long time because it was so close to home because of its architecture with the big Greek columns. William Whitmell Hill Pugh, Alexander Franklin Pugh, and a half-brother, Thomas Pugh, moved to Louisiana in 1818 from North Carolina and settled on Bayou Teche. In 1820, they moved to Bayou Lafourche. Alexander Franklin Pugh became part owner and manager of a number of sugarcane plantations in Assumption and Lafourche parishes, including Augustine, Bellevue, Boatner, and New Hope plantations. William Whitmell Hill Pugh founded Woodlawn Plantation. Colonel Thomas Pugh built Maidwood in 1840-48, and it reflected his aspirations. In a grove of oaks and magnolias facing Bayou Lafourche, Maidwood represents one of the finest and purest examples of the Greek Revival-style architecture in a plantation home. Together, Pugh and his architect, Henry Howard, constructed a house whose classical splendor would surpass that of any of the neighboring plantations. Colonel Pugh acquired several plantations in the 1830s and 40s, establishing Maidwood as the manor house for the group. In the first half of the 19th century, sugarcane production brought affluence and prosperity to the region. Because of the blending of its classical features with indigenous material, Maidwood stood out for its architectural grandeur. The Harold Marshall family undertook a major restoration of the home after purchasing the property in 1964. And the final touches were completed in 1978. At the time of this investigation, Keith Marshall owned and operated Maidwood and the surrounding 18 acres. The fact that Maidwood survived sets it apart from the 120 plantations lost in recent decades due to neglect and is a credit to the foresight of Keith. His main challenge is how to maintain a grand old plantation house while keeping it functioning and relevant when its reason for being no longer exists. Carrying himself with a dignified bearing, Keith is moderately tall. He grew up in New Orleans, went to Yale, and studied literature with Robert Penn Warren and Cleon Brooks. He was later a Rhodes Scholar, specializing in classical music and 19th century British art and society. He ran the art supply store his mother established in 1935 back in New Orleans and reviewed classical music for the Times-Picayune, the local newspaper. In 1983, Marshall acquired Rosedale, an early 20th century plantation house. He moved the structure 2 miles up the highway after slicing off the top of the roof so that it would pass under power lines. It now sits towards the rear of the property and had been used largely for storage, including architectural salvage accumulated over the years. Because of his love for opera instilled in him by his mother, Marshall wanted to fill Rosedale with arias rather than old lumber, so he created an orchestra pit big enough to seat 18 musicians, built a stage flanked by salvage columns, and opened up interior walls to improve the sight lines. After the work was completed in about 6 weeks, Marshall coaxed up members of the New Orleans Opera and put on a performance of Giancarlo Menotti's The Medium, while accompanied by members of the Louisiana Philharmonic. The show was a hit with all 130 seats sold out. Marshall would like to make full use of Rosedale and has been talking to some locals who are interested in staging traditional Cajun dance concerts there on Friday nights. We arrived in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday and were escorted by an old black man to the main back entrance. We were greeted by the manager and shown to our room. We spent the afternoon taking pictures and performing EVPs in the house. We later had hors d'oeuvres and drinks in the old kitchen now used as a reception area, a step down from the back porch and separate from the house. Later that evening, this room would provide the site of the most captivating EVP on camera I've ever captured. As we walked through the downstairs section of the house, I performed an EVP session with the RT-EVP recorder set at 50 milliseconds for 3 minutes. I immediately asked Thomas Pugh, the original owner, if he was there. The response, which was processed and captured as reverse speech, wasn't too inviting to me. In this EVP, you'll hear me say, "Thomas Pugh, are you here?" And a spirit will reply, "I want you to come join him."
Thomas Pugh, are you here? Thomas Pugh, are you here? Thomas Pugh, are you here?
Thomas Pugh, are you here? We captured a voice near the writing table that invited me to come and write something. They were either talking to me or perhaps it was residual. Since they called someone handsome, I have to assume they were talking to me. In this one, you'll hear the spirit say, come and write something, handsome. There were these voices that were captured that seemed to invite someone to eat a bowl of food, and someone subsequently exclaimed a bad reaction to the taste of it. In this EVP, you're going to hear the first spirit say, have a bowl with us. And then the second spirit will say, that food tastes horrible. And here's have a bowl with us. There was a voice captured during the session that let me know there's an afterlife. In this EVP, you will hear spirits say, believe, eternal life. I asked the slaves if they worked in the cane fields' opinion about my education. In this one, you're going to hear me ask, did y'all work in the cane fields? And a voice comes on and says, I'll bet you well educated.
Did y'all work in the cane fields? Did y'all work in the cane fields? Did y'all work in the cane fields?
I then received this voice that cursed someone named Bridget for hurting another person. In this EVP, you're going to hear a spirit say, God damn it, Bridget hurt you. There was a voice that requested that a person named Zach Logan be brought in. Perhaps Zach was a slave and someone wanted to look at him again to determine if he was going to buy him. In this EVP, you're going to hear spirits say, bring him back in here. Bring him Zach Logan. You are listening to Live History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com, the paranormal's top social community. We then walked over to the kitchen, which is a couple of steps down from the back porch, to conduct a brief EVP session before the evening's activities. In the kitchen were antique wares from the period, one of which was an old wash tub and washboard. I used this as a trigger object for a pertinent question. In this EVP, you're going to hear me ask, did y'all use this to wash some clothes? And you're going to hear a spirit say, I think it's washed up.
Did y'all use this to wash some clothes? Did y'all use this to wash some clothes? Did y'all use this to wash some clothes?
I guess they figured that the washboard was washed up and would never be used again. I captured a spirit that must have seen her lover coming, or maybe she was talking about me because she said, there comes my honey. We had a nice dinner with the other guests and then got directions to a 4th of July fireworks display at Tackapaw Landing. We drove there after supper and had a wonderful time watching the fireworks over the water. When we got back to the plantation, we went out to the on-site family graveyard at midnight performed a captivating EVP session where we heard many voices of the spirits buried there. In front of the graves of Thomas and Elizabeth Pugh, the former owners, who was known as Eliza, I performed an EVP session, and I asked Thomas Pugh if he was happy to be with Eliza again. And in this EVP, you'll hear me ask, "Are you happy to have Eliza with you again?" And then you hear a voice, and it had to be Thomas, who says, "Do they have Liza screaming?" And here's, "Do they have Liza screaming?"
"Are you happy to have Eliza with you again?"
"Do they have Liza screaming?"
"Are you happy to have Eliza with you again?"
"Do they have Liza screaming?"
"Are you happy to have Eliza with you again?"
"Do they have Liza screaming?"
I wondered who he meant that they had Liza screaming. I told Barbara that perhaps he was referring to their children. Since Thomas died at the age of 54, I think he had yellow fever, and Eliza lived on for another 33 years. I researched the genealogy of the Pugh family and discovered that over the space of 21 years, Eliza Foley had 16 children to Thomas. Caring for that many children, surely have any mother screaming. We then picked up a very prolific EVP. This is the first EVP I ever captured where they have mentioned Christ. Now, I'm not sure who Simon is. I can't find any history on this name in the Pugh family. But the first spirit says, "Simon's dead." And the second spirit said, "Christ is bringing him." Here I'm going to play, "Christ is bringing him."
Simon. Christ is bringing him. Simon. Christ is bringing him. Simon. Christ is bringing him.
Now, urban legend about the plantation has it that a male apparition has been seen standing by the fence in the cemetery. Psychics believe this male presence was a slave who maintained the grounds. He serves also as a guard for the souls in the cemetery, acting as a liaison to those spirits in the living who come to the site to visit on any given day. In this one, you're going to hear me ask, "What's your name, black man, that's looking over this graveyard? And you hear the first spirit say, "That is Howard." Second spirit said, "Howard Jean." And the third spirit repeats, so here's Howard Jean.
"What's your name, black man, that's looking over this graveyard?" "What's your name, black man, that's looking over this graveyard?" "What's your name, black man, that's looking over this graveyard?"
Now, he wasn't very nice to me when I asked about his presence. In this next EVP, you're going to hear me ask, "Are you over here right now watching this gate, black man?" And a spirit comes on and says, "He wants me to strike him in the head."
"Are you over here right now watching this gate, black man?" "Are you over here right now watching this gate, black man?" "Are you over here right now watching this gate, black man?"
I then captured this voice that spoke a couple of words of endearment to his love. You will first hear a low woman's moan, then you hear a spirit say, "Dear heart."
"Here. Here. Here."
It was very quick. We next heard an invitation from the spirit after I asked them if there was something they wanted to tell me. Now, in this one, you'll hear me ask, "Is there anything y'all want to tell me?" And then you're going to hear a spirit say, "Step into the light."
"Is there anything y'all want to tell me?" "Is there anything y'all want to tell me?" "Is there anything y'all want to tell me?"
Next in the session, I picked up two spirits that were grieving for their grandma. I don't know if she was dying or if she was leaving, but in the first one, you're going to hear the first spirit say, "Grandma, don't go," and then you're going to hear the second spirit say, "I let her go." have to admit that this EVP has a memorable effect on me because when my father was dying from Alzheimer's and congestive heart failure in 1998, as he was in the last stages of his death, my mother cried and pleaded with him not to go. I immediately told her that she needed to let him go so that he could find peace with God and get his mind and his memories back. She then succumbed to my plea and encouraged him to move on. I only hope and pray daily that what I told her is true. Perhaps their grandma was dying and it was Eliza Foley Pugh. While in front of her tomb, I captured this clear EVP that was perhaps her loving husband, Thomas, calling her home by her God-given name of Elizabeth. And this EVP, you will hear this clear, rich, male voice say, "Cometh, Elizabeth."
Cometh, Elizabeth. Cometh, Elizabeth. Cometh, Elizabeth.
The last EVP that we captured in the graveyard may have been directed at me, or perhaps it was directed at Howard Jean, the gatekeeper, who is the liaison between the spirits in the graveyard and the living visitors. In this EVP, you're going to hear spirit ask, say, "Why'd you come in here to help me?" Here's, "Why'd you come in here to help me?" We left the graveyard and went into the kitchen off the back porch of the main plantation house. I planned to set up my digital camera in video mode, set the small fluorescent Coleman lantern on the table, and let the video run for a while to see what we would capture. Little did I know at the time that the sound portion of the video would be the most intriguing item ever captured on that camera. After I set the camera up and pressed the record button, the 43-second mark of the video, I picked up this wonderful full-bodied woman's voice that wasn't Barbara's. And at the 1 minute, 13 second mark of the video, I captured the same woman's voice, and what she said must have been residual. This voice is the purest, most wonderful EVP that I have ever captured. I copied and pasted the sound portions together so that the readers of the book could hear the two phrases together. And here you're going to hear the spirit say, "Moving like God, choose all of their slaves."
Moving myself.
All in all, it was a wonderful day at Maidwood with the fireworks for the 4th of July at Tackapaw Landing and some glorious EVP sessions in the main house, the graveyard, and the kitchen. It is a wonderful feeling to not only stay at a place where you feel like you've stepped back in time, but also hear the voices from the past giving you a glimpse of what the trials and tribulations of their lives were truly like. A paranormal experience such as this is not only spiritual, it's truly an epiphany that our time and space can truly merge with the past with the present. I described in my premiere show how the Woodland Plantation was built in the 1830s by one of America's first chief riverboat pilots, William Johnson. The plantation was an active, successful sugarcane plantation. He was also a pirate along with his friend from Nova Scotia, George Bradish. They were friends with Jean Lafitte, the pirate famous for assisting General Andrew Jackson, defeating the British in the War of 1812 and the Battle of New Orleans. Lafitte was also in partnership with William Johnson in the business of dealing slaves. The famous pirate, along with his first mate, Dominique Yu, would pirate slave ships offshore in the Gulf of Mexico and bring them up Grand Bayou, a shortcut from the Gulf to the Woodland Plantation. The slaves were then housed in two-story brick slave quarters, and these slave quarters preceded Woodland until Johnson's shares of Magnolia, this plantation where he previously lived, were sold. Johnson and Bradish would pick up the slaves from their quarters and sell them up and down the Mississippi Delta. Unfortunately, Hurricane Betsy knocked down all four slave quarters in 1965. I've also told y'all about the overseer of the plantation, a man whose last name was Decker. He would run the plantation while the owner, Bradish Johnson, lived in New York City running the family's distillery businesses up there, using the sugar from his plantations down south. Foster Crapell and his parents, Claire and Jacques, bought the plantation and refurbished it in the late 90s. My first show, I told you about how Foster lived in the plantation as it was being renovated. He would hear footsteps and furniture being moved around, and after the television outside of his bedroom came crashing to the floor one morning at 3 a.m., he told the spirit that he would burn the house down if they continued to wake him up with their antics. He never had another ghostly encounter after he made that exclamation. Now, I first stayed overnight on business at the Woodland in July of 2009. As with all my stays at that time, I took a multitude of pictures looking for orbs since I was still unaware of listening for disembodied voices on tapes or digital recordings. I have since quit taking still shots looking for orbs due to dust contamination, especially at the old houses that I investigate. I now use infrared video photography to search for orbs. It was getting close to supper time, so I wanted to shower before I went to eat. I took off my clothes, got my towel and face rag, and reached into the shower stall to turn on the hot water. As I turned the handle, the four-pronged porcelain shower handle shot out from the wall, hit the back of the shower stall, and bounced onto the floor, and water started jetting out from where it was originally seated. I grabbed the handle off the floor where only one of the four prongs had broke and tried to shove it back onto its seating, but to no avail. Water continued to shoot out of the hose, so I immediately got onto my computer that was already turned on, Googled the Woodland, got the telephone number, and called the front desk phone. I told the girl who answered to tell Foster to hurry to the house and turn off the water. He came upstairs after he shut off the water, and when I told him what happened, he accused me of turning the handle too hard. I was taken aback by the accusation, but I told him that I hadn't turned it hard, but it just flew off from the water pressure on its own. He later apologized and let me know that another similar handle had done that once before. Needless to say, I felt like some unseen force had made that handle fly off the valve like it did, and I had my suspicions about that place being truly haunted. On April 13, 2011, I stayed overnight in the roost where the spirit of a young boy had been seen. I had just gotten my EVP recorder, and I performed an EVP session where the spirit of the boy had told me his name was Will Safer. In this recording, you're going to hear me ask, "What is your name, little boy?" And you're going to hear a young boy immediately say, "Will Safer."
What is your name, little boy?
Will Safer.
What is your name, little boy?
Will Safer.
What is your name, little boy?
Will Safer.
I also decided to perform a session while I played my clarinet, sort of like a ghost conjurer. During this session, I received this EVP where the spirits told me, "We think Will has cancer." Perhaps that was how the little boy died and why he wanders the rim of the plantation. Now, they also said in the session, "Will suffering hell, does it feel bad?" I wonder if they meant that Will was suffering pain from the ravages of cancer on his poor little body, or if they were referencing to the hell that William Johnson should be suffering for his atrocities committed on the slaves of his plantation. Here, this is Will suffering hell. Now, on January 29th of this year, I spent the night in the plantation alone on business as I could not return home, as there had been some extremely cold weather down here and the roads were iced over. The other guests had canceled their reservations, so I had the house all to myself. I performed an Echovox session using Bank B around 9 p.m. In this three-minute session, I captured EVP referencing Gradish Johnson, the overseer Decker, and the ghosts and spirits of the house, even mentioning the name Woodland. In this first EVP, you can hear a spirit say, "Bradish tried to kill me, Mr. Portland." In this next EVP, you're going to hear a spirit tell me, "Woodland special." Now, is this next EVP, it's this forward and reverse speech pasted together. It's the same speech forward, and it's just reversed and then pasted it together to make the statement. A spirit tells me why Woodland is so special, especially to me. He says, "This is Woodland. You're a ghost in me. And here are your ghosts in me." Now, this next EVP, a spirit voice tells me, ghosts cannot sleep. So now I guess that answers our questions of ghosts sleep once they cross over. I guess without their physical bodies, there's no reason for a spirit to have to sleep. I captured this EVP that may have been my spirit guide because the voice says, "I'm the spirit to help you find spirits." Maybe it is a good idea for all of us investigators to pray or invoke our spirit guides, guardian angels, or whatever you want to call them, to bring spirits of the places we're investigating to us before we start our investigation. Now, on this next one, it's also a forward and reverse speech. You will hear a spirit tell me, "I'm the spirit of Bradish. Would you like to know it's me?" It amazes me that spirits are using the Echovox application and speaking the name of the former owner of the house. A spirit then said the name of the mean overseer, Decker, saying, "Did Decker catch Kathy?" Decker was lecherous with the slave women, and I've had many references in EVP that I have captured of Decker raping the women of the plantation. And this is Decker catch Kathy. Another voice referenced Decker in the following EVP with reverse speech and forward speech pasted together in that order. The voice said, "That spirit's here. That spirit is Decker." The voice was probably answering my original question at the beginning of this session after a couple of minutes, as it sometimes takes spirit a little bit of our time to gather enough energy to speak. Here's "That spirit is Decker." I then captured a spirit that said, "Decker told me to bury the dead." Once again, another reference to the overseer Decker. There were many people who died from yellow fever in the 1800s in this area. Perhaps this voice were slaves being told to bury the dead who perished from the disease. And this is "Decker told me to bury the dead." I had asked Bradish Johnson if he had beaten his slaves. A voice responded in a forward and reverse speech, "That is a good question. I accepted the beating. It breaks my heart when I hear the spirits tell me how they were abused by their masters." What amazes me is that this response was in forward and reverse speech. And here is, "I accepted the beating."
Thank you.
addressed me as Mr. Stan in this next EVP. He told me in a grieving voice, "Mr. Stan, Beth is dead." I could feel him grieving when I first listened to this. This is Beth is dead. A couple of weeks ago, I closed the show with the spirit Rick Wade by playing an EVP from the session where the voice told me that God's spirit will guide you. I would like to close this show with this EVP from the same session where a voice asked, "Did God lift his spirit?" I hope that God lifted the spirits of all the slaves who were abused and tortured at the Woodland Plantation. I also hope that this episode of the Cajun Ghost Hunter Chronicles lifted the spirits of all of my listeners. Here is "God Lift His Spirit." If you want to hear replays of the Made with EVPs from this show, go to CajunGhostHunter.com and look on the top toolbar for EVPs Made with Plantation. And if you'd like to hear many of the EVPs from the Woodland Plantation in the show, I put a bunch of them together into one video, and that's on my YouTube page. You can go to Cajun Ghost Hunter. Search for Cajun, that's one word, Ghost Hunter, that's one word, on YouTube, and search for Bradish Beat Me. So this concludes another episode of the Cajun Ghost Hunter Chronicles. Join me next week when my guest will be Reverend Neil Farley, a medium and founder of the Spirit Rescuer of Lost Souls. We will discuss his mission and the wonderful pictures of the spirit orbs that he captures during his Spirits of the Night event every Monday morning. I will also play a couple of EVP that he captured during these sessions. Be sure to join us. Thanks, and have a great weekend.